This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Deuteronomy. And now here's Pastor Sandy in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27 through 30 with today's study.
Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. That's being blessed all the time, isn't it? The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Just read the exploits of Joshua and Gideon and Deborah and Samson and Samuel and David. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. In the days of David and afterwards, under the reign of King Solomon, Israel was actually a world empire. During those reigns, it was the most prosperous nation on the earth. God did exactly what he said. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. This is exactly what happened. 1 Kings chapter 10. You remember when the queen of Sheba visited Solomon, she marveled. She looked on and she was astounded. Here's what she said. It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness. You remember God's Old Testament plan of evangelism. If Israel obeyed, he was going to bless Israel to such an extent that the world would look on and marvel and conclude that truly the God of Israel must be the one true God. And that is exactly what happened. The queen of Sheba was a convert. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If, and this proved to be a pretty big if, you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But in verse 15, the curses begin. For if Israel disobeys God's law, he will surely curse them. Before we read these verses, I want to tell you, a friend of mine once saw a documentary on the Holocaust. He told me about it later. And there were various photos shown in the documentary. And under many of the images were verses from Deuteronomy chapter 28. These verses contain some grisly and ominous warnings that Israel should have heeded. And because she didn't, God brought curses upon his people Israel. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Famines will be frequent. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. That's being cursed just about all the time. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish, and your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be like iron. The land will be fallow and barren. The skies will produce no rain, and Israel's prayers will bounce off a bronze ceiling. Verse 24, the Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. Do you get the impression God was serious about them obeying his commandments and worshiping him as their one true God? If time permitted, we could chart Jewish persecution through the centuries. In 586 BC, the Babylonians sacked Jerusalem, and they burned the temple. And then they deported the Jews to Babylon. They returned 70 years later in the days of Ezra. In 70 AD, about 600 or so years later, Jerusalem was once again razed to the ground and the temple burned, this time by the Romans. A century later, they drove the remaining Jews from their homeland to foreign lands. And Jews have been a dispersed people scattered all over the world ever since. For several centuries, it was actually illegal for a Jew to live in Jerusalem. And for the two millenniums since those days until recent times, the Jews have been hated and persecuted everywhere they've tried to settle. Literally, they have been cursed when they come in and when they go out. When the Jewish leaders rejected Jesus and called for his crucifixion, they sealed their fate when they cried, "His blood be on us and on our children." The rejection of their Messiah unleashed the curses of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And for the last 2,000 years, the Jews have been pushed from one ghetto to the next, banished from country after country. They were victimized by Europe's crusades, by Spain's Inquisition, by the pogroms in Russia, ultimately the death camps in Nazi Germany. Names like Auschwitz and Dachau and Ravensbrück conjure up horrific images. 6 million Jews died in these death camps. Did you know the word Holocaust means burnt offering in German? And on behalf of the church, let me repent for the role Christians have played in the torture of Jewish people is disgraceful. In the Middle Ages, the Roman Church felt it was their duty to help God enact these curses. And so they devised ways to persecute Jews. When Crusader armies left Europe to liberate the Holy Land from the Muslims, on the way to Palestine, they found clusters of Jews where they tortured them and murdered them. They burned down whole neighborhoods. They called the Jewish race Christ killers. And here's the result. They pushed the Jews away from their very own Messiah. Today, most Jews have a totally contorted conception of Christianity. Rather than a message of love and redemption as we view Christianity, they view Christianity as a religion of hate. To most Jews, Billy Graham is a good Christian, Adolf Hitler was a bad Christian, but both of them are Christians. Hey, as a Christian, I am a spiritual Jew. I have been grafted in to the Jewish covenant. My Savior is the Jewish Messiah. My future is tied to Israel. The covenants I enjoy were given first to the Jews, and it is my desire to show my debt of gratitude and to do all that I can to draw the Jewish people to their Messiah, Jesus Christ, by showing them His love and His grace and His mercy. And that should be the desire of every Christian. Well, God saw to it that a disobedient Israel would be cursed. The church sure didn't need to help. Verse 27 continues the curses. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart, and you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. Over and over, these curses came upon the Jews. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not gather its grapes. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes. You shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from before you, and you shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have no one to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no strength in your hand. This is what the Nazis did when they split families apart and they packed the trains with Jews and hauled them off to the concentration camps. Again, we could put this verse under the caption of that picture. A nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. So you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes have seen. As one Jew said, he wasn't sure whether he really liked the idea of being the chosen people. God certainly gave them special attention. The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. The Lord will bring you and the king whom you set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. And this did happen when the Jews were exiled to Babylon for those 70 years. You remember, Babel was the birthplace of idolatry. It was as if God were saying, if you want to worship idols, then I'll let you go where idolatry was invented. And he sent them back to Babylon. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord will drive you. Israel, the word Israel will become a synonym for the word curse. Verses 38 through 42 warns that the locusts will eat their seed, and the worms will spoil their crops and wine, that the olives will literally drop off the trees before they can be harvested, that the Jewish children will be taken captive. He says that Gentiles will become more prosperous than Jews. Verse 44, he shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, the Gentiles, and you shall be the tail, the Jews. Verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder and on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart. for the abundance of everything. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Israel was the beneficiary of incredible blessing. Just think of the miracles around the Exodus. Think of the wilderness wanderings. God fed them with manna from heaven, water from the rock. Think of how he intervened for them time and time again. What they didn't realize was that with those blessings, with those privileges, came responsibility. God blessed them, but he expected in return for them to be obedient. And when they didn't, the curses were heavy and numerous. Verse 49, the Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly nor show favor to the young. They'll be cruel, they'll be tyrannical. And both Babylon and Rome marched under the emblem of an eagle. The next few verses describe how their respective sieges wiped out Israel. Verse 53, you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you. In both sieges, the Roman and Babylonian people became so hungry that they resorted to cannibalism. In 70 AD, the Romans surrounded Jerusalem. They cut off the supply lines. The goal was to starve the Jews into surrender. Great numbers of people scaled the wall to forage for food. Most Jews were captured and crucified, as many as 500 per day. More than 600,000 people starved to death during the siege. In all, over 1 million people died. 97,000 were taken captive. Verse 54, the sensitive and very refined man among you will be hostile toward his brother, toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the rest of his children whom he leaves behind, so that he will not give any of them the flesh of his children whom he will eat, because he has nothing left in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you at all your gates. You got to be pretty hungry to want to eat your own kids. The tender and delicate woman among you, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of her delicateness and sensitivity, will refuse to the husband of her bosom and to her son and her daughter her placenta, which comes out from between her feet, and her children whom she bears, for she will eat them secretly for lack of anything in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you at all your gates. If you do not carefully observe all the words of the law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. You shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven in multitude. And why? Because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And let me suggest that the greatest Holocaust, according to Scripture, is still yet to come. All of the persecution that has gone before will pale in comparison to the hatred that the last day's Antichrist will show toward the Jewish people. And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing, and you shall be plucked from off the land which you go to possess. Then the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. And among those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. And for the last 2,000 years, this has been the Jewish headline. Even today, even in their own homeland, the Jews still fear a nuclear holocaust. They still are afraid of the Islamic bomb. They still have no security. They have no assurance that tomorrow they'll see day. Verse 67, in the morning you shall say, oh, that it were evening. And at evening you shall say, oh, that it were morning. Because of the fear which terrifies your heart, and because of the sight which your eyes see. And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships, by the way of which I said to you, you shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. My, oh my. Talk about the ultimate turn of fortunes. They left Egypt no longer slaves, free, liberated, alive, with a new land before them. But because they didn't take responsibility for the privileges they had been getting, because they didn't thank God for the blessings, because they didn't obey the word of God, they ended up right back where they started, in the same situation they were in when they left. They were sold as slaves in Egypt. After the sacking of Jerusalem in AD 70, the Romans sold 97,000 Jews in the Egyptian salt mines. They say there were so many slaves that the supply exceeded the demand. In chapter 29, Moses reminds the Hebrews that they're going into this new land to uproot a wicked people. They are going to be his instrument of judgment, but he warns them not to adopt the practices for which the Canaanites are about to be destroyed. Irony of all ironies would be for God to judge these people with Israel and then turn around and judge Israel for committing the very same crimes. He begins the chapter with a history lesson, and I'm going to summarize a few verses for time's sake. He talks about the miracles in Egypt, the covenant that he made with Israel at Mount Horeb. He talks about God's provisions in the wilderness, their initial victories east of the Jordan. God was faithful despite the hardness of their hearts. And in verse 14, he says, I make this covenant and this oath, not with you alone, but also with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abominations and their idols which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that there may be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose hearts turn away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood, and so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace even though I walk in the indignation of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. He's saying, take these warnings seriously. I mean, don't be like the man who hardens his heart and says, oh no, this won't happen to me. Have you noted the delusional and the numbing effect that worldly pleasures can have on a person?
Listening to Bible teaching here on the radio is a huge blessing that many of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world simply don't have. We rejoice in this opportunity to share Pastor Sandy's messages with you. We do want to be sure to remind you that radio is not a church. Radio should be a complement to what God is already doing in your personal discipleship through the local body of believers that you're a part of. Maybe you're listening today. You don't have a home church. You've visited various places, but nothing seems to fit. First, if you live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, we want to personally invite you to join us for worship at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. For more information, including driving directions, please log on to sandyadams.org and follow the link to the church website. Now, if you're listening outside of the Atlanta, Georgia area and are looking for a home church, we encourage you to log on to calvarychapel.com and find a Calvary Chapel in your area that teaches through the Bible just like Pastor Sandy does each day here on this program. Well, we wish we had more time today, but we've come to the close of today's broadcast. Be sure to remember to join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through God's Word. That's next time on Sandy Adams Radio.